morning. Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. To want to welcome each one here for this worship service. There was a thought that stood out to me in our Sunday school lesson. It was just a phrase, but it was also something I recently read in a story. And it was something to this effect, that God uses what Satan and evil men think is their gain to further his kingdom and his cause. And in our Sunday school lesson this morning, it talked about that in relation to the persecution and how that spread the church. And in the story I read, they were referring to the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior and how that Satan thought he had finally won, only to realize that he actually had lost it all. And in my message this morning, I'm going to be looking at the life of a character that God used, a man that was very selfish, to further his kingdom and to protect his own people. A number of weeks ago, as I was thinking about needing to preach this morning, and also I was supposed to preach at Winchester 2 weeks ago, but due to family situation, we did not go to Winchester. And I thought I had a message that I was going to prepare for this morning, but due to some personal circumstances the last number of weeks, it did not happen. And I feel that maybe God's hand was working in that, even though it was not desirable circumstances that I had to face. The message this morning is I would like to look at the life of Balaam and take some lessons from that story that I believe is stuff that we all face sometime or another in our life. We don't have much about Balaam until we get to Numbers chapter 22. And I'm going to be reading three chapters this morning to get the whole flow of the story. The message title is Lessons from the Story of Balaam. And I'd also like to encourage our children to open their Bibles and to follow along. It's a story we often only take about a dozen verses out of this whole story, and we look at that story of Balaam's donkey speaking to him. But there was a lot more involved than just those number of verses. And as I was studying for this morning, I looked up what Balaam's name means, and it means destruction. And he was also known as a mercenary prophet, which simply means that he served merely for the wages that he got. And he was also known as an avarice man, which means he was excessive or unsatisfiable, or he had an excessive and unsatisfiable desire for wealth or gain. And we will look at that a little closer later on in the message. And the other thing that stood out to me as I studied was this is the only time in history that I know about that there was ever an animal spoke to a human, the human understood, and they actually carried a conversation, and that the man did not even recognize the difference or how it wasn't even normal for this beast to act like this. I'd like to start reading in Numbers chapter 22, and I'd like to read the first 35 verses. Just prior to this was a story of the children of Israel complaining, and God sent the fiery serpents in their midst to punish them, and we have Moses being told to put this serpent up on the pole so that it would bring healing to the people that were bitten. And then they move on through the wilderness and they conquer some of the nations coming in closer to the land of Canaan. In And chapter 22 brings them to the land of Moab, and Moab was not ignorant of everything that has happened up to this point. They had heard how the children came out of Egypt and all that had happened in the time from the time they came out of Egypt until now. I'd like to begin reading in chapter 22, verse 1. It says, "And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites," which was this just happened just in the previous verses in chapter 21. "And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor of Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come up out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, and curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and whom thou cursest is cursed. The elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the reward of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the word of Balak. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And the God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled against him, was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass and his two servants with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his side. And the ass turned aside to the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went farther and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when they all saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, Behold, thou hast mocked me. I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do unto thee? And he said, Nay. And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I have slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, Go with the men, but only the word which I shall speak unto thee, that shalt thou speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. I'm going to leave off reading there for now. As mentioned earlier, we have Balak fearful of the children of Israel for a number of reasons. And he keeps talking about this large group of people that came up out of Egypt. And as we'll see later in the message, he took Balaam to three different mountains to show the large group of people. And I don't understand how this the lay of the land was geographically. But it seemed like no matter where the Moabites looked, the children of Israel were there. It was just a multitude of people. And it says it caused fear not only in the heart of the king, but also in the heart of the people. They also knew that the children of Israel had pretty much conquered any nation they went up against. There was a time or two that they were defeated, but most times they conquered anyone they fought against. And they even knew that their neighbors, the Amorites, had just been conquered by the children of Israel. And so the children of Israel now come to the land of Moab, which was also Moab and Midian. It seems that, from what I understand, were about the same area. So this is the land that Moses spent a number of years in, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. Where he found his wife, and his father-in-law was also the priest in this land. And so Moses is somewhat back at home because he had been here for a few years by himself. I think a number of the lessons in this portion that we already read that we can learn is, number one, is when we seek answers to our decisions in life, we need to accept God's answer as final authority. We have the people coming from Balak asking Balaam to go with them. And Balaam inquired of the Lord whether he should go or not, and God told him no. And so Balak can't understand this because doesn't understand and know who God is. And so he says more honorable and more in number princes to try to persuade Balaam again. And along with that, he promises a promotion of great honor, and whatever Balaam asked for, he was going to give it to Balaam as a reward for coming to curse the children of Israel. Balaam and Balak didn't understand that kingdom work is not and cannot be done solely for financial gain, nor can it be done for a promotion of self. Even though Balaam went with the people, the group, the second time, he told them that he could only do and say what God allowed him to say, no more and no less. And he told them that there's no amount of money that could change that, because he had to obey what God, he could only say what God gave him to say. And yet it seems that there appears to be an underlying driving force of covetousness that made him want to go with these men. And he went with these men, and he did not follow God's word of how he went with them. God told him that if the men come to him and call him in the morning, he could go with them. But it says that Balaam rose up and just went with the princes. It gives no indication that they came and called him. He went on his own. And I believe that's why in verse 22 it says that God's anger was kindled because he went. He had disobeyed God fully. And I believe that this is why we have the story of Balaam's donkey speaking to him, because God uses maybe abnormal circumstances to speak to us when we have disobeyed him. God was trying to get Balaam's attention, but he totally missed it. And I believe the reason he missed God speaking to him because his own agenda was what he had in mind. Along with that, he may have been afraid of the king's wrath, King Balak's wrath. And then we have the story of Balaam and his donkey and all that happened there. And it seems like the more she refused to go, the angrier Balaam got. And I believe we can see from that man's wrath and anger blinds us from unusual happenings in life. I think most of us at some point or another have worked around animals, whether it's a dog or whether it's cattle, whatever it may be. But I believe if there's anyone here that would have been working with cattle and they would have started talking to you, you would have stepped back and listened. It would have been totally unusual because it's just not how life works. What would have been your response if that would have happened to you? I trust we would have sat up and listened. But we see here that disobeying God degrades man below the brute beast. It actually brought Balaam to a lower level than the beast, because the beast was willing to stop when it saw the danger ahead. And there's a thought I came across in relation to verse 28. It says, when the donkey was asking him, he said, "What have I done that thou smitest me these three times?" And I quote, self-will refused to be instructed by circumstances, but a will yielded to God is careful to observe them. Three times Balaam refused to learn from the animal on which he rode. So blinded was he by the love of money that the dumb beast, speaking with his man's voice, failed to make him hesitate. End of quote. It didn't even make it register in his mind that this was totally out of the norm. And sin can do that to a person's life when they follow their senses. Sin can have such a hold on a person's life that they do not follow their senses in order to live their sinful lifestyle. Then we have God opening Balaam's eyes so that he understood why his beast acted the way she did. And I believe Balaam also saw himself for how God saw him, realizing that he had not obeyed God and he had sinned. We have the angel speaking to him there and telling him that it's only because of the way the donkey acted that he was not killed. The angel would have smote him. After the angel spoke to him, it seems he acknowledged that he was wrong, but he agreed that he would go back, but it doesn't seem like he had a repentant heart. I think his motive was still to go on with the people of Balak. So I'd like to read the rest to the end of chapter 24. And this is where Balaam gets to meet Balak, and then Balak and Balaam have their times of Balak tries to persuade him to curse Israel. Verse 36 is, "And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto the city of Moab, which is in the border of Aaron, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, Did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not indeed am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? And Balaam said unto Balak, Lo, I am come unto thee. Now have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto Kirjath-Huzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep, and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him into the high place of Baal, where that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. And Balaam said unto Balak, Build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, Stand by the burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. And God met Balaam, and said unto him, God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, Return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable, and Balak the king of Moab, he took up his parable and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come curse me, Jacob, and come defy Israel. How can I curse whom God hath not cursed? And how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? And Balak said unto him, Come, I pray thee with me, unto another place from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shalt not see them all, and curse me them from thence. And he brought him unto the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered bullocks and ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, Stand here by the burnt offerings, while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and he said, Go again unto Balak, and say thus. And when he came to him, and behold, he stood by his burnt offerings, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, What hath the Lord spoken? And he took up his parable, and said, Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. He brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, What hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey, and drink of the blood of the slain. And Balak said unto Balaam, Neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. And Balaam answered and said unto Balak, Behold, told not I thee, saying, All that the Lord speaketh, that must I do? And Balak said unto Balaam, Come, I pray thee, and I will bring thee unto another place. Peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence. And Balak brought Balaam to the top of Peor, that looketh towards Jeshimon. And Balaam said unto Balak, Build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes are opened has said, he has said which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valley are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of lime aloes which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his bucket, and his seed shall be in many waters. And his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He has set, as it were, the strength of the unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones, and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, as a great lion. Who shall stir him? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies. Behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. And Balaam said unto Balak, Spake I not also unto thy messengers which thou sentest unto me, saying, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of my own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee, which this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes were opened has said, he has said which heard the word of God, words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession, Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites and took up his parable, saying, Strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he took up his parable and said, Alas, who shall live when God doeth this? The ship shall come from the coast of Tittim and shall afflict Asher and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. I believe we can see here a man that thought he had control. Balak was a man that thought he had control of every situation in his life. And I believe we need to learn and remember that God has placed limits on mankind. Balaam understood this in his response to Balak's desire and his promise to promote him if he cursed Israel. Balaam told him that I can only do what God gives me permission to do. Yet it seems like Balaam was trying to please God and also please Balak. And we know that when we try to please God and live for self, it doesn't work. We cannot serve two kingdoms. Another thing I saw as I read through these verses is that when we worship God, we need to do it according to God's approval. If I understand these verses right, there was altars that were built in the midst of Baal worship in an effort to worship God. And they built seven altars, and they offered sacrifices on each altar. God requires that we worship him and worship him only. I believe that God ignored the sacrifices that were part of a corrupted worship. Fourthly, unregenerated mankind does not understand nor acknowledge obedience and accountability to God. See how that Balak was so angry because Balaam was not doing what he wanted him to do. But Balaam was only doing what God allowed him to do, and that was blessing Israel instead of cursing them. And I believe in these verses it brings out, and we know it as well, that God's chosen people cannot be cursed even if they are far away from God, far away from living how God wants them to live. We have Balaam making the statement that he wants to die the death of the righteous, and he wanted his latter end to be like the latter end of the righteous. And if that is how we want our end to be, then we need to live like the righteous. Fifthly, continued attempts to perverted worship will not please God. When they came to the second place, they once again built seven altars, and they offered seven sacrifices, and Balaam went to inquire of God what he should say. I believe he was, to a point, tempting God, trying to get God to change his mind. But he refusing to worship God according to his commandments brings confusion and repeated attempts to please God. Balaam went ahead and blessed the children of Israel the second time because that's what God told him to do. And in this blessing, he told Balak that God was not a man that he would change his mind just because humans wanted him to. And he would not allow his people to be cursed. So then we have another tactic that that Balak used. He says, well, if you can't bless them, then don't bless them, don't curse them, don't do either. Unregenerated man tries to be neutral if they cannot get what they want. And then we have, in chapter 24, we have Balak taking him to the third place to show him the great crowd of people, of the children of Israel. And there are times in life when looking at stuff from a different angle or a different viewpoint helps us understand things better, but it does not change God's view on the matter. Seems like Balak thought that if we got a different viewpoint one more time, then God would change his mind. And we have, once again, offering the seven bullocks and the seven rams on seven different altars. And I had to wonder if they thought seven more would make the difference. If 14 didn't do it yet, maybe seven more would. But we have simply the fact that if a mankind that does not believe in God does not understand God's ways. And then we have anger and confusion in Balak's life because he could not get what he wanted. Verse 10 of chapter 24, it talks about how his anger was kindled against Balaam and he smote his hands together. Balak did not understand the sovereignty of God or God's plan for his chosen people. And in anger and in the face of defeat, Balak said, "Well, just go back home. You didn't do what I wanted you to, just go back home." Unconverted man did not realize the restraints that God has on people. But before Balaam goes back home, he proceeds to prophesy the destruction not only of Moab, but of the surrounding nations that Israel would conquer. And through that, he also foretold the coming of the Messiah through the lineage of Jacob. In the last verse there, it says, "And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way." Seems like their relationship was now over until the Moabites were fighting against the children of Israel. And that's in chapter, I think it's 31. I didn't write the reference down, but there's only about two other verses in the rest of the Bible that even mention Balaam. The one is when he was killed in the battle fighting with the Moabites against the children of Israel. And the other is in the New Testament. We were told, when we are told to take his example and to live, to understand that the way he lived did not bring him to where he wanted to go. In summary, I think there's a number of things that stood out to me as we look at this passage. Number one is earthly rewards for confronting God will be to no avail. The leaders of Moab took rewards of divination with them to influence Balaam to come with them. And it seems like that Balaam was a man that was involved in works of magic and enchantments and divinations. And maybe that's how they knew who Balaam was. I'm not sure. It doesn't really give much history on Balaam of how he was, where he was actually from and how he was known by the Moabites. Number two, obedience to God's command is essential for the small details of life. From the small details of life to the large decisions we face. Maybe it seemed like just a small thing to rise up and go with the Moabites when God had specifically said that if they call you, you can go. But I believe the first step of disobedience will lead to many more, or one step of disobedience will lead to many more. Thirdly, when God closes doors in our life, it is of our best interest. It is not in our best interest to pry them open. Sometimes it seems like when God closes doors that it's just a block wall ahead of us. But when it's times like that, we need to seek the will of God and to follow where he leads us, because when God closes a door, he will open another. Fourthly, experiencing unusual circumstances such as animals speaking to us should cause us to stop and analyze our life and the path we are traveling. It's easy to look back at Balaam and say, well, why didn't he get the point that it was so unnatural and unusual? But what do we face sometimes that would really be, if we sat back and looked at it, is unnatural and unusual, and we just keep on going ahead with our own desires and our own plans? Fifthly, God's will and plan will be accomplished no matter how hard man tries to change it. It's easy to have our own plans and our own desires. But when God shows us his plan and his will for our lives, we need to accept it and submit to it. Either we can be in conflict with God's plan, or we can submit to his lordship and enhance the kingdom of God. Number six, we need to seek God's will for our life and submit to it. It's easy at times to have our plans in place, and then we pray and ask God to bless our plans. But we need to ask God to give us direction, show us his will for our lives, and to submit to it and put that in place in our lives. And seventhly, we need to seek God and understand his view of life. I think Balaam understood it a little bit when he realized that he could not curse something that God had not cursed. And I believe we need to seek to understand God's view of things in our life and view it in the same, through the same eyes that God views, how God views it. And lastly, even though Balaam was not fully committed to God, God used him to bless his people and to show Balak that there was a higher power. The power that Balak could not fight against and that Balaam could not refute. And we have that same higher power that we can receive strength from in the face of enemy, in the face of difficulties. And we can either use it for our help or we can fight against it. Let's kneel for prayer.